invite you to take your Bible this morning, open them up to your New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then your worship bulletin on the back of that. You have an outline you can follow along. Maybe the Lord will show you some scripture, maybe speak to you through the message today, something you can jot down. So we started this brand new year with a series that will take us for the next few weeks right into February called The Walk. And really we're talking about these five essential practices of the Christian life. Now, there are a lot of spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines, but just kind of distilled it down to these five that are foundational for beginning your life with Christ, for continuing your life with Christ. These are the essential practices for finding and following Jesus Christ. You might think of them as sort of holy habits. These are part of our life that we do day in and day out, week in and week out. Now, you'll find in the scripture that the walk, is this image or metaphor that's given to us as the life of faith, the Christian life. We walk with God and God walks with us. And so when we talk about the walk, we're talking about living out day by day this life of faith. And always at the beginning of a new year, it's a time to do some evaluation, some time of change, and looking at ways that we can spiritually grow in our faith. So let me just briefly remind you of these five essential practices. Last week we talked about worship. Today we'll talk about study. Next week, serving, and then there's giving, and then there's sharing. Now, I gave you a sermon guarantee, and some of you asked me, say, can I get that? And I'll get this too. I think this is what you were asking about, but here's the promise I want to make you that comes with this series. You take these five practices, and when they are pursued daily, these practices will increase your spiritual health, they will deepen your faith, make you more aware of God's presence, and help you, empower you to live the Christian life. Money back guarantee on these things. And so these five practices will really just deepen our experience of faith. So a little bit of review. Last week we talked about worship. And so you're doing great. You're here. We talked about these two dimensions and aspects of worship. One is that we worship weekly with others. And that's what we're doing here. This is corporate or public worship. We do not neglect the gathering, the assembling together. And so there's something that happens as we gather together every week to sing, to pray, to listen, to talk, to give. And so there's power that comes from that. And then we worship daily, though. We worship daily by ourselves. And this is our personal time of worship, where we talk about quiet time with the Lord, our personal daily devotions. And so there's worship. Today we want to talk about that second practice. That is the practice, and we just call it study. Study. This is the idea. When you study something, it's the idea that you devote time and attention to something. It's for the purpose of acquiring some understanding and some knowledge. And you do that by listening. You do that by paying attention. Now, one of our values here at Bethany Church is the value of growth. And we like to say that spiritual growth is not optional. Let me tell you what I mean by saying that. Spiritual growth is not optional in the sense that when we think about our Christian life, when we think about our walk with God, we talk about it in terms of a relationship. So we have this personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In every relationship, that they're not static. Every relationship is dynamic. And that is, it's moving. So in every relationship, and especially your relationship with God, you're either drawing nearer to Him or you're drifting away from Him. You're just not the same. And so spiritual growth is not optional, because if you're not growing spiritually, you're drifting away from God. And so since spiritual growth is not optional, God's word is required reading. Okay? God's word is required reading. And I want to kind of unpack that and develop that just a little bit this morning and what it really means when we talk about study, paying attention. So when we talk about study, it's this idea of listening and paying attention to God's voice, or God's word that is spoken to us. Look at this verse in Job 33:14. It says, for God speaks. Just those two words. We have a God who speaks. God speaks again and again. We know he has spoken and he continues to speak. Now you just stop for a moment and think. If God speaks, I would think I'd want to listen to what he had to say. So God speaks again and again, though people don't recognize it. Or people don't listen to him. People sort of neglect it or just turn it aside. But he speaks to us again and again and again. And so every relationship is built on communication. And that's true in every human relationship we have. That is true in our relationship with God. God speaks to us. He communicates with us. So we have a God who speaks, who wants to communicate with us. And so we want to draw near in that relationship. So how does God speak to us? How does he speak to us? Well, what it's called, what we call God speaking to us, is revelation. In other words, God reveals himself to us. And so that's how he speaks to us, that he reveals himself, revelation, he makes himself known. So we have a God who wants to be known, who wants to speak to us. And so there are two ways in which we talk about God's revelation to us. And so the first way we just mentioned is what is typically called general revelation. Sometimes you can even refer to it as natural revelation. Now what we're talking about there is that here is the God who's the creator God of the universe, and he makes himself known to all people. Look at this verse in Psalm 19:1-2. It says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. It's as if he's saying, you cannot look at a sunrise, a sunset. You can't look at the ocean. You can't look at the mountains. You just can't look at the beauty of the sky, the beauty of creation, the changing of the seasons. You can't look at all of these things that are all around us from the stars in the heaven and not realize, wow, there's a God. And he's speaking to us through that, telling us something about himself. Paul speaks about this in Romans 1:20, where he says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. I mean, it is evident to deny the fact that there is at least a creator of some intelligence behind the creation takes a tremendous act of faith to deny it. It's evident. And he says what we see in these invisible qualities are his eternal power and divine nature. And then Paul says in Romans 1:20, so that they are without excuse. So there's no excuse for saying there is no God. And so God has made himself known in a sense, in a very general way, that he is present, he is creator, he is powerful. And so that's general revelation. But that's still not enough to let us know who he is, who we are, what he wants from us, how we can fix what's wrong with us, you know, what the purpose is for our life. And so God speaks to us in a more specific way, and that's called special revelation. And so there is special revelation, and that is the Bible, that is God's word to us, and that's what we take this. This is, just write this, that's not on your outline anywhere, but this is what I want you to know. The Bible is God's personal message to you. Now, this is how God is going to speak to you and every one of us. He's going to speak to us through the Bible. It is his personal message to us. And so I want to take you to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here the Apostle Paul is writing to young Timothy. And when he writes to young Timothy, he's writing to him, sort of handing the baton of ministry to the next generation. And he comes down to talking about the Word of God. So he gives us a little glimpse into Timothy and then what Paul tells Timothy about his ministry, his life of faith. So I'd begin reading in verse 14. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, But Timothy, you must remain faithful to the things that you've been taught. So Timothy, stay faithful. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Verse 15, you have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood. And I'm just going to stop here. I'm going to interject a free little sermonette, okay? You know, it's just interesting. I was just, you know, preparing for the message and going through that scripture, and especially this week, and thinking about that. And here's Timothy. So I'm just imagining now, knowing a little bit of Timothy's background. His father was an unbeliever, most likely. His mother was a faithful believer. His grandmother was a faithful believer. But here's Timothy. And Timothy now is a follower of Christ and into the ministry because his mother and grandmother taught him the scriptures as a child. And here's what we say, the importance of children's ministry. And we talk about, you know, we have a brand new kids pastor here, Natalie, and what we believe about reaching next generation and children, and it's through the scripture, how important it is. And here's Timothy. Timothy, you've been taught these things since you were an infant. And the importance of making God's word central in our families and in our children's life, instilling that and making sure they're in the house of God, and we're living out and sharing that with them. So he just says, Timothy, you've been taught these holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom, understanding, to receive the salvation that comes by trusting God. So Timothy, these made you wise unto salvation. These brought to you the awareness of what was wrong with you spiritually, the need that you have, but then God's plan for redemption that came through that. Then Paul says in verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong with our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. Verse 17, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, I'd encourage you, take 2 Timothy 3:16, 3:17, circle it, mark it, write it down, note it in your Bible. All scripture is inspired. It is God-breathed. It is given to us. And so that word inspired literally takes two words, puts them together, God and breath. And so inspired, we talk about it in this context, is not this feeling of creativity that comes upon us and say, ooh, that's inspiring. Inspired in the context of our faith related to God's word speaks, these words are the breath, the voice of God. He has spoken to us through his word. And so we study it. We devote time and attention to us. And so we all have to really should understand that God did not give us the Bible to inform us. He gave us the Bible to transform us. And so while there is so much knowledge and information to gain from the Scripture, and while that's vitally important, the goal is not to see how much of this I can just intellectually acquire. It's not to inform us. The Bible is to transform us. It is to change us. It is to radically make this different in our life so that we can live out this life of faith. And so it transforms us. It transforms us. So the Bible is given to us to be applied and to be obeyed and to be followed, to be lived out in life. Look at this verse in Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. Now, when they think about the Bible, what makes it different, what makes it holy, is it's God's word. And it's God's word. It's alive. It's alive through the Spirit of God. It is powerful. It is active. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and the bone, the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Let me share Hebrews 4:12 with you from the paraphrase of the Message. It says, God means what he says. He just means what he says. What he says goes. And this is it. This is what he says. It's his word. It is powerful. His powerful word is sharp as the surgeon's scalpel, cutting between everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and to obey. It's as if God's word begins to work in our hearts and our lives as the surgeon goes to work in our bodies to cut out what the cancer that is there or to mend what is broken. His word begins to work in us. It is powerful to us. So let me just share with you, and it just kind of unfolds itself in 2 Timothy 3:16, how the Bible changes us. How the Bible changes us. There's five simple things. First of all, there is instruction. There is instruction. So we'll just take 1 Timothy 3:16 and just sort of let it unfold and outline itself. And so it says, all Scripture is inspired. It is God-breathed. It is useful. It's beneficial. It's practical to teach us what is true. To teach us what is true. So the Bible will instruct us in this area of truth. And so we live in a day in which truth now has become something that is more relative, and that it's just whatever people want to call true. They just want to call truth anything that they want it to be. And we know that that is not even possible. There's only truth. And whether we believe it, whether we want to accept it or not, it is absolute. It is not relative to us. We don't get to make it up. The Bible will instruct us about the truths of God specifically. And so if you want to know more about God, well, you look at his word. You know, we don't get to make up our own religion. We don't get to make up our own ideas about God. You know, this is what, you know, I want to be careful. I find myself sometimes doing it, but I hear people all the time. Well, this is what I think God is like. We just don't get to do that. There is a God. He's revealed himself to us. We want to know, we want to understand more about God's plan for our lives. You want to know what God requires of you, what God expects from you. Do you want to know how you can use your Bible as the standard of teaching and testing everything that God claims to be? You find it from giving time and devotion to the Bible. And so here we have in the Bible instruction for us. It's the revelation of truth for us. So that's number one, truth. It's like an anchor amidst the storms of life, of falsehoods that we believe in, something that we can anchor into being true. Number two is, well, we'll just call that realization. Or you might call it detection. Now what happens, and he says, so all Scripture, you know, is God-inspired, God-breathed, and then he says, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. To make us realize what's going on in our lives, we know something is not right. What's wrong? And sometimes we just don't know what is wrong in our lives. And so when we read through the Bible, it begins to make us wise. It begins to show things. It works sort of like an X-ray, or sort of like a blood draw, a test that is done. The Bible can serve as a warning device in our lives of helping us detect thoughts and actions that are out of line with God's will, or things that will take us away from God. And so it rebukes us. You know, rebuking us to, you know, that's not right. And so we can realize what's going right and wrong in our lives. Number three is correction. And so all Scripture is inspired by God. And then he says it corrects us when we are wrong. Literally, that word means sort of the straighten this out. It's a word that refers to something that is twisted and crooked. And then you sort of take it and straighten it out. And sometimes in life, we can kind of get all twisted up and crooked and get off course. And the Bible works then as this correction. You know, you think about it when a ship sets sail, or you even think about a rocket that is launched into space. That if that ship or that rocket gets off course, and we saw this just happen in the space launch not just a few weeks ago, but if that rocket gets off course by just the smallest little bit, the longer it goes, the further away it misses its course. This is how I like it. It's like lining up a 15-foot putt. And, you know, if I miss it by that much at the very beginning in the first 6 inches of the putt, I'm 5 feet away from it at the end of the putt. That didn't mean anything to anybody else except us golfers in here. And so here you go. It just helps you line up your putt, all right? It puts you on line. It's the correction. So when life gets out of whack, the Bible can help you make the necessary corrections. So let me just ask you, if you were honestly to look at your own life, is there somewhere in your life that you might say, you know, this is just sort of out of whack? There's something that's not quite right here that needs to be corrected. Well, the correction is found in God's Word. Number four, and then this God-breathed Word, this is the word direction. It can teach us to do what is right. Kind of piggybacking on number three, correction. Here's training. It teaches us, it tells us to do what is right. It just doesn't tell us, well, this is wrong, and so you're wrong, and that's just why it's wrong. But it also then shows us, well, what is right? How can we do right? So it gives us direction, so we don't always have to be wondering about what God wants. Or we don't have to be just floating along in the ever-changing moral morass of our society. There are certain things that are absolutely true, and we hold on to these truths. One of the things that a church is given to do is, as we receive Christ and help people become Christians, we help them grow in their faith, we serve those who are helping, but then we are to be a pillar of truth in this world. We have been entrusted with this truth. And sometimes all the gates of hell come against that truth. But nevertheless makes it true. It gives us this direction. So the Bible helps us then, drawing out these lines of right and wrong and where we need to follow in our lives. And number five is preparation. So God's Word's been given to us, and it's God-breathed to us, and it is then useful to us. And then he says, God uses it to prepare and equip us. And so God's using this word to prepare and equip you and me, his people, to do every good work. And so God wants to prepare you, equip you and me to be ready to meet the demands of life and to live out as witness for him our faith. So his word, the Bible, gives us all the information and everything that we need to do to be part of that preparation process. So that's why we look to God's Word. He's beginning to prepare us, equip us for what He's called us to do. It doesn't mean that we'll be perfect. It doesn't mean that we'll be sinless, but we will mature, we will grow as we acquire the knowledge of God. All that transforms us as we allow it to happen in our lives. So God uses His Word, and that's why we call it required reading, to listen to Him speak to us, to instruct us, to help us realize what is going on in our lives, for correction, for direction, and for preparation. But you know, many people, even many believers, are wandering around aimlessly in life, looking for purpose and meaning in life. And not to sound just so simplistic, but it's really not that complicated. When we listen to God's Word in the Bible, we begin to realize, as God speaks to us, who we are, why we're here, who He is, we begin to understand the purpose of life, begin to understand the purpose of our life, and how then God wants to equip us so that we can minister to others, that we can worship Him. And then in our zeal for truth of the Scripture, we must never forget its purpose of equipping us to do good. And so this realization of our place in God's plan, that transforms our life. So this is why I'm here. This is why I do what I do. And so we're not studying God's Word to increase our knowledge, but by reading and knowing God's Word, it will strengthen our faith and will prepare us to do every good work that God has created us to do. You know, every study you read tells you that about 90%, just about every American owns a Bible. Some of us own lots of Bibles. And so we're very blessed and fortunate. And most people around the world now, there are still some that don't, but we have God's Word available to us. It's mostly as simple as just a click on the app of a phone. Also, studies realize that only about 35%, about a third of Christians, of those who proclaim to be Christians, ever read their Bible one time a week. Just about a third. So we have the Bible, but we're not really, for the most part, listening to the Bible, reading the Bible, studying the Bible. When we get serious about walking with God and knowing God's will, the purpose for our life, then listening to His voice, we draws us nearer to Him, and reading the Scripture we know becomes part of God's will for our lives. And so I just want to give you just a very practical thing to close. You know, I understand the Bible can be a rather intimidating book. I kind of likened it this way. I can remember, you know, first getting the first computers when they came out, and some of you say, man, you are old. Yeah, I can remember that. But I can remember, you know, just sitting at a computer screen at times with this new thing that's come out. I was afraid to touch anything. I mean, I'd heard all these bad things. I didn't know what to do. I was just afraid to touch it. It was intimidating. And I realized, you know, the Bible sometimes can be intimidating to people. They don't know. They don't understand. They don't know where to start. So let me just give you something quite simple. And for most of you, this would be oversimplistic. But this is what I tell you. You just take a look at your hand. You've got five fingers on your hand. So here's just the challenge for the new year to start out on a new practice and maybe continuing on with the practice. I want to challenge you to read, pardon me, five verses a day. Verses. Just five verses a day. And that's all you need to do, just five verses a day. And as you read five verses, you say, well, you know, that wasn't too hard. I could read 10. Well, then read more. But maybe you just make those. I'm going to take a few minutes, not even, you know, just 2 or 3 minutes, read five verses a day. You start there. And then you just kind of increase it. And as you increase it, you work yourself up to five chapters a week. Okay? So five verses a day, goal of five chapters a week. And then I give you Saturday and Sunday in this little plan. That's the catch-up days. because I know we're going to mess up. All right? It's not hard. And I just challenge you, wherever you might be, wherever you think you should have been, just to define God's word and study to start there. So you do that privately. You know, so you do that privately. But then also as worship, there is something that happens in the group dynamic. And so I'd encourage you and challenge every one of you to be part of a group. And so we have a lot of age groups for, we have groups for Sunday school classes for every age group here, and time just to start out. You know, I'm going to check out a class and be part of a group, be part of a Bible study, maybe come on Wednesdays. But there's power that comes then being together in a group and making group Bible study part of that. So those are the two challenges I want to give you. So listen to this. This is what Jesus tells us in Matthew 4:4. Jesus said as he's tempted by Satan, he relied on God's word to strengthen him, and he said to Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Man is more than a physical, material being, but he lives on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It gives us life. Or in John 20:31, and John said this near the end of his gospel. As he wraps it all up, he says, we've written about these things to you, and we could have written about more things. The world wouldn't even contain all the books if they could be written. But he says, now these things were written. Speaking of his gospel, I think we could say this of the Bible too. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why the Bible was written. It was written that you could believe, and that you would believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. And by believing in him, your sins will be forgiven, your life will be changed, and you'll have eternal life. Several years ago, we had a very faithful church member. His name was Harold Hancock. And Harold was such a blessing to me as a pastor, to us as a church, and he was a faithful believer. He was about 85 years old when he passed away several years ago. And so he became a believer when he was 10 years old. And so he lived three quarters of a century following Jesus Christ from a young boy to an old man. And then in over those years of knowing Harold, he shared this with me, and I've always kind of kept it tucked back. Sometimes I have to come back to it. And he wrote this poem called The Bible. And I just want to close with it. And I want you to listen to this. As you listen to it, know that this is someone that is writing that has lived it for 75 years. And so this is what he wrote. He says, God's word has always been a cherished book to me. It taught me how to live my life and his own child to be. Its sacred pages are of gold, each line of silver pure. Its words are like the precious gems which evermore endure. It told me how my Savior came and gave his life for me, how I could have my sins forgiven and live eternally. It gives me strength from day to day, a source beyond compare. The daily problems I must face are solved while reading there. Temptation sometimes is so real. While torn with fear and doubt, I wander in the valley low. It shadows the right way. It shows the right way out. It kept me near throughout my life. I've kept it near throughout my life on land and air and sea. Just knowing it was there nearby meant all the world to me. I'm thankful that I've had the chance to teach its message true and share it with a dying world that they may know him too. It's the voice of God to us. It's speaking loud and clear. But if we fail to read the word, his voice we will not hear. Dear friend, I challenge you today. The path that you now trod, turn from the vice of worldly men to the precious word of God. And so I want to ask you to bow with me as we pray. And maybe as you pray today, maybe you're praying to make the commitment. Lord, help me Read 5 verses a day. I just want to make that commitment at the beginning of a new year. Or, Lord, help me understand what's going on. Show me your way. Or maybe it's to come to know him. You want to know what's happening in your life, what God requires of you. It makes you wise to salvation. Maybe even today you realize, you know, what I really need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship can begin today. It's unfolded in the scriptures to us. Or just to recommit yourself to God, just open my eyes to the things of your word and let me listen to you. Father, I pray now, as every one of us invests our life, that, Father, we'll look to you and to your word spoken to us, that we could hear it and we know how to give ourselves to you completely. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.